Lord's help this morning, a topic I preached on it before a few years ago. I'm going to preach on it again. The title of the message this morning is Let the Lion Starve. And I'll read the text and hopefully you'll understand where I'm coming from this morning. And we'll just let the Lord help us. Tonight, come back, be in service with us at 6:30. Brother Thomas Ramey will be preaching. And he's going to bring a word from the Lord tonight. If you'd like to join us in our prayer room at 6 o'clock for our 20 for 20 prayer time, we would appreciate your presence there. And I'm always encouraged, man. You come in that. If you've never been to our 6 o'clock prayer time, you just go in there and you pray. Nobody says anything. You just go in and pray. But you'll see kids who are about 4 or 5 years old and adults who are about 85 praying. Isn't that awesome? I mean, we... Praise the Lord. And that is the main reason why God moves in our services. He wants to, but also he knows we want him to. And that's why we gather in prayer together. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter number 4 and also 1 Peter chapter number 5. We'll read 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 first. And then we'll read Ephesians chapter number 4. We had a good time at convocation in Neosho, Missouri this week. Left just blessed and enriched. Please stand for the reading of the word. Just really, God helped us, ministered to us, preached exactly what we needed to hear every night. Glad we were able to go. I'm glad to be back. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Right there, Peter tells us we've got an adversary trying to devour us, and we've got to resist him. Then in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 27, 4, verse 27, Ephesians 4, 27 says, "Neither give place to the devil." Neither give place to the devil. Pray with me, if you will, this morning. Lord, I love you. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for salvation and the experience that comes along with that. Thank you, God, for the empowering of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Spirit. And I pray today that you will anoint the word, speak to us, help us, God, to take it and use it for your glory. Lord Jesus, when you were tempted in the wilderness, you defeated the enemy with the word. Help us, God, to receive the word today. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Okay, so in Scripture we find that the enemy of our souls, or the devil, is at times he is compared to certain animals. He's symbolized by these animals. He is referred to in the Gospels as a wolf that comes about trying to devour the sheep. And in Revelation, he's called a dragon. Probably the two most common animals that we would associate with Satan are the snake and the lion. The snake and the lion. You know, a snake is a very good picture of the devil, isn't it? He's very subtle and sly. You almost never see him coming until it's too late. Sometimes you don't even know he's there. He sneaks in unnoticed and strikes his prey with a deadly venomous bite. And a lion, though, is a lot different than a snake, isn't it? It's a lot bigger. It's more ferocious. He strikes fear on sight. He's got a roar that'll scare you and stop you in your tracks. It can be heard from miles away. A lion is big and powerful. You know, a snake, though, can be killed with any number of weapons. How many of you have ever killed a snake? I've killed a snake. Not very many of you. You must run away. I don't know. I've killed snakes with sticks. I've killed them with a rake. I killed one with a 5-iron, Brother Fraley. I mean, I walked out when we lived in Texas. I opened up our dining room door to go out to our little porch, and there was this little snake with his head up. And I just shut the door, and I was like, what am I going to do? So I went out and got my golf club, and I just swung away at that thing till I cut off his head. Amen. You can kill a snake with a lot of different weapons, but a lion is a different story. You know, there. If you go to YouTube, you can find videos of people who are hunting lions. And there's one particular where there's a couple hunters with a high-powered rifle. And they're trying to shoot at this lion. This lion comes running, lunges at them. They get a shot off, and they hit the lion in the shoulder right on time. But man, that lion is still powerful enough. Even when he's shot, he pounces on one of those hunters, does a little damage, and runs off. A lion's a very powerful thing. And so when the Lord depicts the enemy of our soul as a lion, he's letting us know that he is a powerful foe. Okay, the devil, I'm not praising the devil here, I'm just speaking the facts. The devil has some power, he's got some weapons in his arsenal, and you know what? We'll never be able to kill the devil with a 5-iron, or we'll never be able to kill him with a rifle either, because it's a spiritual battle, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I remember one time my dad received a phone call late at night. My dad was a pastor. His brother is a preacher. And my aunt was having some trouble with one of her sons. He was mentally slow, but he was also very deep into sin as well. And he was angry one night. She was the custodian of his finances. And she would only give him a little bit of money every week because he'd waste it. And he ran out of money. And so one night he went to her house really, really late at night. And he began banging on the doors, banging on the windows, threatening to kill her. And all this stuff because he wanted money so he could buy some cigarettes. And so she called my dad and she called my uncle and she said, I need you to come and try to calm him down and take care of this because I'm scared to walk out of the house. And so they went about midnight over to her house and they tried to calm him down. And I remember my dad saying, you could just see the devil in his eyes. I mean, it was like he was being controlled by his anger and being controlled by the devil. And so I remember being scared. Because he knew where we lived. And I was afraid he would ride his bike over to our house and jump through a window and kill us. You know, I was scared to death. And I remember, I don't know what I grabbed. I think I grabbed a baseball bat to sleep with next to me. But I also grabbed my Bible. And I said, you know what? If the enemy comes, I'm going to have my Bible here. It made me feel secure. And it made me feel safe. Why is that? Because, you know, I the devil can't be beat with a bat and something physical, but the Word of God has power over the enemy. And the Word of God says we can live in victory over the devil. Praise the Lord. And there's going to come a day when the enemy is finally destroyed. And the devil knows that. Okay, the devil knows that there's coming a day. Revelation tells us in 12:12 that it says, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having a great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil knows that his time to deceive and to destroy is limited. He knows that he is working against the clock that the sovereign God of the universe is in control of. And thus, he's roaming as a lion, seeking for someone or many people to devour. The devil wants to destroy your life. The devil wants to destroy your family. The devil wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your home. But you know what I say this morning? I say we need to let the lion starve. Can I hear an amen? We need to let the devil starve. We don't need to give a place to the devil. You know, one way to kill a lion is to let him starve to death. Praise the Lord. In the second passage that we read today, it really gives us that principle. Paul is trying to tell us, yes, Peter says there's a Roman lion trying to devour your soul. But Paul gives us a warning here. He says, don't even give the devil a place in your life. You know what he's saying? He's saying, let that lion starve. When it comes to my life, I'm going to let the devil starve to death. I don't want to give him a place. I don't want to give him a bite. I don't want to give him a portion. I want to let him starve. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions here today, and then we will just talk about that little passage there where the Lord said, neither give place to the devil. Who is Paul speaking to when he writes that verse? It's very simple. Paul is speaking to the Christians, those who have unseated the devil from control of their lives. They've allowed Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, and they're walking for Him. And that verse is for us as well. But it's also a warning. The verse is in the Bible, and I got four reasons why that verse is there. Let me give them to you here. Number one, Paul said this, the Lord said this, the Holy Ghost put this there, told us not to give place to the devil, because sometimes people do let the devil have a place in their lives. Paul wouldn't have told us not to do something that is possible to be done. I mean, when the Lord says, you know, I wouldn't go and tell my son, son, I want you to jump up there and touch the rim. My son is about 3 foot tall. He's not going to be able to jump and dunk a basketball. It's impossible to happen. But I can tell him to shoot this volleyball, and it might go in, and it does. He can shoot a volleyball into the hoop. That's great, isn't it? But if I tell him to do something he can't do, it doesn't make any sense. If I tell you to do something that can't be done, it doesn't make any sense. So Paul gives us a warning here not to give place to the devil. Why? Because it is possible for us to allow the enemy to have a portion of our lives. Place means a portion of space or an opportunity to take action or power. You know, there are times when people have given the devil a portion of their souls. And in all actuality, if the enemy has a portion of your life, he has control of your life. Okay? You can't serve two masters. You can't try to love God and love the world. You can't serve God and call yourself a Christian, but let the devil have a portion of your life. No, that's impossible. So we can't give the devil a place in our lives. You know, Paul, in the Bible, he saw the enemy take places and portions of lives and destroy some of his friends and comrades. There was one man by the name of John Mark. Paul took him on a missionary journey, but the Bible tells us that John Mark lost heart and he walked away from the mission journey. Praise the Lord, he got things patched up and got things right with the Lord and became a great man of God. But there was a time in his life when he wasn't so sure about what he was doing, so he walked away from it. Paul saw the effects that the enemy could have on somebody who at once was walking for God. There was another one, Demas. The Bible says this man forsook Paul because he loved this present world. So there was something in Demas's life that wasn't all in for Jesus. Judas Iscariot, a great example. He walked with God. He walked with Jesus, was a disciple of Christ. But the Bible tells us that when Judas dipped the sop in with Jesus, and Jesus said, "What thou doest, do quickly." It says that Satan entered into Judas, a disciple. What does that let us know? That there is a possibility of failure and of losing out with God. Time would fail me to tell you of all the names of loved ones and friends and people I've ministered to and known that have given place to the devil. I asked that question this morning in Sunday school to my Sunday school class. I said, "Have you known of anybody who has once served God, but they've walked away?" And just about everybody raised their hand, because we all know people who have walked away from God and allowed the enemy to have control of their lives. Praise the Lord. We can't give a place to the devil. Can I hear an amen? Giving a place to the devil means that you're giving the lion a meal to devour in your life. And listen, when the lion is done with one portion, he doesn't get full. He seeks after another portion and another portion and another portion, trying to destroy your life. Giving a place to the devil is allowing him to rule over a certain area of your heart and your mind. It's allowing him to have his foot in the door, giving him an opportunity to move around your house that is your heart. Listen, when you give the devil an inch, what does he take? A mile. You can't give him any power. And you might think you're in control, but listen, even a caged lion can be deadly. I've seen it on a video of a man who was a circus guy. You know, have you ever seen those guys at the circus? They whip those lions and those lions strike back at a man. And that guy might think he's in control, but there was one where the lion just bit the man's arm and he had to find some help to get loose. Why? Because he was playing games with the devil. Or with a lion. Listen, you can't play games. The devil will devour you and destroy you. We got to let the lion starve. Listen, let me labor here for a minute. How do we give the devil a place? I'll tell you this: rebellion is where it all starts. Let me stay here for just a second. When you just decide to ignore the warnings that come from behind this desk, when you don't apply the word of God to your life, when you think that what we're saying is not for you, listen, in your heart, that is allowing the enemy to come in and begin to sow some seeds of discord and take some areas in your life. Man, when you start saying, "Listen, preaching against that, that's just ridiculous. That's legalism." No. We're preaching to, the Bible tells us that those who are in spiritual authority over you are doing it for they're watching out for your souls. Amen. So when you're warned not to go to haunted houses and go to this place and that place, don't just say, "Oh, that's just silly. They're being crazy." No, we're warning you. Because the enemy will try to get his foot in the door of your life any way that he can. And if you're not careful, you'll allow him to begin to devour some things. And in that rebellion, that moment of rebellion, you are allowing him to destroy what God is trying to build up in your life. So we've got to cut that rebellious spirit off. We got to destroy pride. And also we got to not go back to the things that we left. Paul said, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. I've seen it happen many times. People will come to the altar. They'll come to me. They'll come to pastor. And they'll say, listen, these are the things I struggle with. And I'm not doing them anymore. And the next couple weeks later, you talk to them. And they're like, man, I'm struggling with that again. And all you can think to say is, why? Why? Because they go back to the things that they once left and build them up again. Oh, but let me tell you, when you do that, you're giving a place to the devil. But today, you need to make a commitment to let the lion starve in your life. Amen. Giving a place to the devil is a possible thing. It happens. Number two, the second reason why that's in there, that verse is in there. Giving a place to the devil, not only is it possible, but it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent, the devil, the lion, came to Eve. And he got Eve to sin. But Eve was not the original creation. Adam was. And so the devil wasn't satisfied with just having Eve. He wanted Adam. And so he got it into Eve's heart to go to Adam. And then when she asked Adam to partake with that deadly fruit with her, he obliged and he gave in. Why did the devil try to weave his way through Eve into Adam? Because he knew that once he got to that original creation, he would have control of the race, the human race. Satan did not want just a portion. He wanted complete control. And listen, Satan will never relinquish whatever you give to him. He doesn't just say, okay, you've given me in your mind, I'll give it back to you. No, that's not what the devil does. Once you give the devil control of a part of your life, he doesn't let go of it. He will not let go of it. He wants your entire being. A lion, he attacks his prey one animal at a time. He doesn't go to the gazelle and try to catch a gazelle and an antelope and all those things at the same time. Rather, he goes from one thing to the next. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to start off in the little things in your life and work his way to the big things till he has complete control. That's why sometimes we talk to you as a preacher about things like music and television and modesty and movies, because you know on the surface these things look like, oh, that's just an outward issue. No, they're a heart issue. When you begin to do things that are wrong and watch things that are wrong and do things that are wrong and live in ways that are wrong, the enemy is controlling you. And I've seen a lot of people full of potential neglect to allow God to have their lives completely, and they've given place to the devil, and the devil makes a mockery with their lives. And not only that, but the devil often destroys the family that they're attached to and friends. You know, you might say, I'm only going to do it once and I can stop whenever I want. But before you get to that point, before you even waver on your faith, you've got to say no to the devil and not give him a place. I knew of a man who he got out of prison. He started living with a pastor. He started trying to do right. But he kept doing these shady things. You know, just a little dishonesty here. A little thing there. And before you knew it, he was back doing the drugs. And stealing money. And stealing weapons. And selling them for drug money. And I mean, he was doing all kinds of things that were wicked. Until finally, he got all the way back into prison. He's there to this day. And probably will never get out. Why? Because he couldn't allow God to control. And he kept letting the enemy eat at his heart. Eat at his mind. Hallelujah. We've got to do our best to let the lion starve. Can I hear an amen in here today? We're quiet, but we're going to go somewhere with this. You know, parents, listen to me. Parents, if you can for a moment, it's dangerous when you give technology to your kids. A lot of kids, most kids, over 50%, 62% in fact, of teens say they can't live without the internet. That's sad, ain't it? Teenage girls spend 14 hours a week on the internet, 19 hours for a boy a week online. And let me tell you, that spells trouble to me. That's giving a place to the devil. I'm not preaching that the internet's bad, but man, if you just all the time surfing the internet, surfing Instagram, surfing Snapchat, all that junk, guess what? You're going to find yourself in trouble because one thing leads to another. Teens doing things to fit in with your old school friends. You know, it's not safe doing things to fit in with members of your family that have no desire to serve the Lord. It's dangerous when you tell a little white lie to make yourself look better. That's dangerous. When you do things that go against the parent and the pastor, that's dangerous. When you show disrespect to the man of God, it's dangerous. Listen, the Bible tells us that the little foxes spoil the vine. So he said, don't give place to the devil. Why? Because when we decide in our hearts that we're not going to let the enemy have a portion of our lives, he will starve to death. And he won't have control, praise the Lord. The third reason why that scripture's in there, because we must resolve to follow it. We must resolve, Brother Miguel, not to give place to the devil. Paul was warning against giving a place to the devil because it had happened and it's dangerous. But he was telling us as Christians not to do it. Paul instructed Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's going to be many times in life when the lion is going to roar louder and louder and louder to try to make you fear. But listen, just because he roars doesn't mean he has to bite. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. Just because he roars doesn't mean he has to bite. When trials and troubles come and Satan has been whispering in our ears to give up, endure hardness as a good soldier and let the lion starve. When all you see is darkness all around you, when you don't even know what you're doing and you feel like God's left you, listen, you got to resolve in your heart, I'm going to keep doing what I know God said to do. I'm going to trust him and trust he's going to come by right on time because God always does. You can't in those moments of weakness. You know, the devil, he challenged Jesus when he was in the wilderness for 40 days. He didn't do it on day one or day two, day three or day 39. Rather, it was day 40 when the Lord's fast and time of prayer was done. The enemy, when Jesus was weak physically, began to try to persuade him to do wrong and tempted him to do wrong and to lift himself above God and all that stuff. And every single time, Jesus was resolved to do right and he came against the devil with scripture. So what does that tell us? When we feel weak and tired and we feel like we're down in our spirit and worship isn't coming easy and praying is twice as hard as that and we feel the devil tearing at our heart, we've got to be resolved to say no to the devil and to let the lion starve. Resolved to stay away from the entanglements of this life. Resolved to stay away from the things that we once were a part of. Moses came out of Egypt. And when Moses went out of Egypt, Egypt got out of Moses. Amen. In other words, Moses was a different man. Amen. He spent those years in the wilderness. God was perfecting him and molding him into being who he needed him to be. And he was getting that Egyptian spirit out of him there in the wilderness. And God got him to a place where he could use him. And Moses wasn't going to go back to Egypt in a spiritual way. He was just going to go back and destroy the works of the enemy. Listen, too many times people, they claim to come out of the world, but they don't let the world get out of them. We got to let the lion starve and get rid of the worldly things of this life. Clean up our lives. Become detached from this life so you can let the lion starve. Resolve to move forward no matter who falls behind. Resolve to overcome the wicked one no matter who falls behind. The Bible tells us to remember Lot's wife. What does that mean? It means that Lot's wife, she looked back at the sin, looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah. She became a salt pillar and was done for eternity, gone into eternal hell. Why? Because she could not obey the voice of the Lord. And Lot was there with her when she did that. But he couldn't look back. He had to keep moving forward. It is so hard. It's so hard when your friends and your loved ones go back from the Lord. And it makes you feel vulnerable. And it makes you wonder if you'll be the next one. But listen, let's be resolved this morning. I'm going to let the lion starve. I'm not going to let that with sin that my aunt's doing or that my best friend's doing. I'm not going to let that affect me. I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, one of my best friends is in prison right now for some wicked things that he did. And when he first went to prison, it made me in my heart. Let me be transparent with you. It made me think, wow, what am I capable of? And it made me have to shore up some things. Now, I'm not going to follow the same path. I'm not going to go the same road. I'm not going to do those things. And I'm not going to, no matter what anybody says to me, I am resolved to look forward to Jesus. And I'm going to let the lion starve. Listen, let me just share with you these couple things from my heart. When you feel like staying home from church, don't stay home from church. Go to church. Because I'm too tired tonight. Listen, I know one service, it might not seem like much, but man, if you resolve in your heart to be faithful to as much church as you can be, God will bless you. And you never know, coming here this morning or tonight or Wednesday night, whatever it is, you might just get the blessing that you need to overcome the things that you're struggling with. So resolve in your heart to be faithful to church. Resolve in your heart that even though sometimes it feels like prayer isn't working, pray another prayer. Because God's going to come by and help you. When you're tired of living different from the world, you know, and you're tired of going against the flow of the culture, listen, keep moving on in the way of righteousness and true holiness, because God is going to come by and He's going to help you. The devil you might think the devil's after you, he's on your heels, but listen, the Bible encourages us that one of these days, in Romans 16 and 20, the Bible says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Listen, there is coming a day, and it might be soon in your life, that the devil is going to be destroyed under your feet because you're walking in the ways of God. Oh, listen, we cannot give place to the devil. So Paul said, neither give place to the devil, because it's possible to happen. He had seen it happen, and it's a dangerous thing when it happens. But he also said not to give place to the devil, because we don't have to give place to the devil. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is full of commands and statutes that are possible for the child of God to follow. And God never says to build a tall ladder that'll get you to heaven. Why? Because that would be something that's impossible. But this command to neither give place to the devil, it's not an impossible task or an undertaking for you and I. Praise the Lord. It's a thing that God can give us help and spiritual help with. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what did he say? He said they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us in the Gospels, Jesus gives a parable. I'm almost done here this morning. He talks about the strong man coming into the house and taking possession of those things. And you know, when he's talking about that strong man, he's talking about the enemy of your soul coming in and trying to destroy and take in possession. But then he says that there is a stronger man than that strong man, who will come in and who will destroy what the first strong man did. Praise the Lord. Why did Jesus say that? Because he is the one that is stronger than the lion, than the one who's warring after your soul. But not only that, there is a power that worketh within us. The Bible says in Ephesians that there is a power that works in us through the power of God. Amen. And it is a power that is able to overcome this world. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And John wrote in his epistles, you have overcome the wicked one. Listen, you are stronger than the devil because Jesus is strong in you. Christ in you is what gives us the power to let the lion starve. Oh, I don't have to allow the enemy to have control of my life, thereby having control of my home and having control of my family. Rather, I can live in victory over the devil. Why? Because there is a power that was manifest on the day that Jesus rose again. And that power works within my life, and it'll work within your life if you'll let it. Let the lion starve. Stand with me this morning. Sister Allison, come to the piano, please. Make some commitments today, this morning. If there's some weak areas in your Christian walk, you know, and there's some things that you know that you can be stronger in, make some commitments this morning. I'm not going to let the enemy have that place. I'm not going to give the devil a place in my life. I'm going to let the lion starve. I've heard stories of people who saw demonic, lion-like creatures come into their homes. And in one particular story, they said that this manifestation of the devil came into their bedroom trying to destroy their lives, trying to terrorize them. Now, remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, okay? It's a spiritual thing. And I'm not being crazy. This stuff happens. But they said that when that lion came into their room, that devil, they felt that evil presence. They just began to plead the blood of Jesus and say, devil, you cannot cross this bloodline. Listen, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you've been saved and born again, the devil might try to make you fear, but he has no power in your life. So don't give a place to that fear. Don't give a place to that temptation. Don't give a place. Listen, when we resist the devil, what's the Bible say? He will flee. You don't have to give a place to the devil. You don't have to allow the lion to eat a meal within your heart. You have the power to let the lion starve. I want you to bow your heads, please, if you will. And I'm preaching to everybody in here today. I'm preaching to myself, but I just want you to know right now that if you feel the enemy pulling you down, that you have the power to destroy what he's trying to do in your life. You have the power to destroy what he's trying to do in your home. You've got the power to destroy what he's trying to do in your family. You just got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. While your head's bowed, if you tell me this, I want you to raise your hand if this is you. You say, I am battling the enemy and I'm afraid for my soul and I need God to give me victory today. If that's you, raise your hand. I'm battling the enemy and I need some help. I'm being tempted. I'm being pulled apart. I'm feeling the effects of this world and I need strength. Thank you for those hands. You can lift your heads up high if you want to. But listen, the Bible says in Psalm 37 that the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth, but the Lord shall laugh at him. For he seeth that his day is coming. Listen, God knows where you're at. When it says he's laughing at him, he's not laughing at you. He's laughing at the devil who's trying to destroy you. Because God's like, that is my child. And I'm going to bring victory. But this morning what you've got to do is you've got to in your heart determine, I'm not going to allow myself to become subject to the wicked one. I'm not going to live in defeat. Rather, I'm going to let the lion starve. Hallelujah. If we can, let's all come around these altars and find us a place to pray this morning, especially those of you who raised your hand. You can have victory. You can find peace. You can find strength. Amen. If you know the effects of the devil are working in your home, listen to me. You've got to pray hard, pray strong, and just believe God to do something great in your heart and life and give you that victory again. Thank you, Jesus. If you've walked away from God and you feel that the devil is just destroying your life, listen, you can come back to him this morning. Come back to God this morning and he'll save you and cleanse you and make it whole again. Lord, help us, God. Hallelujah. Determine in your heart, I'm not going to give a place to the devil. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to let the enemy destroy my marriage. I'm not going to let him destroy my family. I'm not going to let him destroy my home. I'm not going to let him destroy my life. I'm not going back to the things I once left. I'm moving forward. I'm not going back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
God's not through with you. Satan.